Folks, here's a reading from John, verse 5. Soon another feast came around, and Jesus was back in Jerusalem. Near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there was a pool, in Hebrew called Bethesda, with five alcoves. Hundreds of sick people, blind, crippled, paralyzed, were in their alcoves. One man had been an invalid there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him, he stretched out by the pool and knew how long he had been there. He said, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man said, "Sir, when the water is stirred, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. By the time I get there, somebody else is already in." Jesus said, "Get up, take your bedroll, and start walking." The man was healed on the spot. He picked up his bedroll and walked off. That day happened to be the Sabbath. The Jews stopped the healed man and said, "It's the Sabbath. You can't carry your bedroll around. It's against the rules." May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
Friends, what we believe has a powerful impact upon our lives. Medical studies on the placebo effect have shown that if we believe something will help us, it probably will. If we believe it won't help us, it probably won't. When I read the stories of Jesus' healings, I realize his presence had a powerful effect on those whose lives that he touched. Today's scripture is yet another example. In this passage, Jesus asks a surprising question. He speaks to a man who's been ill for 38 years and asks, "Do you want to be made well?" I imagine the man must have been incredulous that a stranger would ask such a question, and he doesn't answer yes or no. Instead, he immediately explains to this stranger why he hasn't had success in getting into the healing waters of the pool at the magical moment when the waters are stirred up. Jesus takes this man's explanation as a yes, that he wants to be well, and says to him, "Stand up, take your bedroll, and walk." And the man was healed. So, what happened here? Life experience makes very clear that getting ourselves onto a path to healing can be very challenging. If we feel that we are damaged goods, that we are inferior, defective, or not good enough, these feelings that spring from the core of our being and emanate from the wounds we have suffered throughout life can block us from the healing that we need. Depression can sap our motivation. Shame and guilt can blind us so we are unable to see a way out. In this story, I believe it was the love of God for this man coming through the actions of Jesus that enabled him to be healed. This man must have been ignored all those years, experienced the fact that Jesus noticed him. Then the man realized that Jesus was actually interested in him. Jesus respected him enough to ask what he wanted, if he wanted to be made well. Then the man realized that as he explained his predicament, Jesus listened to him. These were all signs that this hapless man was a valued human being, that he mattered, he was loved. And finally, Jesus believed in him and the power within him to restore his health. So Jesus spoke the words that freed him from his paralyzing bondage. Stand up, take your bedroll, and walk. You see, it seems that in many cases, healing only begins once we realize that we are lovable, that we are worth something, and that we can love and value ourselves. This realization can enable us to take our first steps on a path to healing as we begin to break free from the internalized shame and the guilt that imprisons us. Some of you know my very good friend, Derek Lundgren. He has given me permission to share with you something of his story, because it is also a story of finding and embarking on a path to healing. Like the childhood of each and every one of us here, his story begins with once upon a time. His parents were a young couple that were unprepared to be parents. As a child, Derek never received the nurturing or life guidance that would communicate, "I love you." And the words, "I love you," were never spoken to him. It seemed there was nothing he could do that was good enough that would please them. His father could be violent with punishment, and his parents were oblivious to the sexual abuse Derek experienced at the hands of a photographer who preyed on young Derek's desire for love and exploited Derek's good looks. Derek was overcome with mixed feelings and with guilt and shame. In his desire to escape and survive, Derek left home as soon as he turned 18. He sought out love and friendship, but found it difficult to fill the longings within. Eventually, after years of struggling with using sugar, junk food, and emotional-based eating like a drug, an acquaintance introduced Derek to cocaine, and it became a more overtly destructive expression of addiction, taking him deeper into the wasteland of emptiness, a sense of worthlessness, and feeling lost. Derek went to a drug rehab program for a while, and he began to sporadically attend 12-step meetings. And like many seeking to escape addiction, he relapsed time after time. It seemed that some meetings and the rehab even increased his sense of shame and guilt. And this greater sense of shame and guilt pushed him all the more to try and escape and find relief through drugs. At one point, while I was serving as the pastor here, Derek came and spoke with me. He told me that he was addicted to cocaine and asked what he should do to overcome his addiction. I was at a loss. I'm no expert on drug addiction and recovery. I wanted to help him, but I told him that I didn't know what would work. Years later, Derek explained to me that it's because I didn't profess to know what would work for him and implicitly communicated, "I trust what you're telling me about your past," that he received the seed of the message that later took root and flourished, revealing to him a hope-giving truth that what happened to him was not his fault. He didn't deserve what happened to him. He had landed in a mess, and he was discovering now that he was loved anyway. Another major turning point came for Derek when he realized that it was his rebellious nature that had enabled him to survive childhood. Sure, it had led to troubles, But now it was an element of his strength. He could be rebellious, a maverick, unorthodox, and still live an authentically spiritual life. He could be himself. Yet another transforming event for Derek occurred in June of 2010. When Derek spoke to 1,000 people attending the United Methodist Annual Conference meeting in Redlands, I had asked Derek to be one of our LGBTQ persons to participate in the Telling Our Stories project that we did during that annual conference session. It was difficult for him to do, but he spoke from his heart as he shared who he was and the struggles he faced. The applause was strong and sustained. Derek was warmly received and affirmed by nearly all those present. I think it was a moment when many others also realized that it's possible to be authentic, to speak from one's heart, and still be loved and welcomed for who we are. I think it was these realizations and experiences that increased in Derek the awareness that perhaps he could escape from the imprisonment of his painful past. He began his journey toward freedom from his toxic shame. He recognized that the inner child, the little Derek inside, did not deserve all the negative messages that had been haunting him through the years. It was not his fault. He could love and embrace himself and move forward with his life. He could take up his bedroll and walk. Out of his life journey, Derek has created a wonderful variation of the 12-step program that he calls Project Justice, The Great Escape. A program clearly inspired by the movie The Shawshank Redemption. It basically amounts to an addiction and life recovery program that is dedicated to a higher purpose, one of creating inner justice, and in doing so, making a positive difference in society. One distinctive aspect of the program is that it creates the space for people to embrace their defiant and rebellious nature, to help them move forward in their recovery and to more fully let themselves be themselves in their new life story. Project Justice, The Great Escape, is a perfect name for all that Derek has been utilizing in his journey to freedom and healing. It's a program that acknowledges the wrongs that have been done to us that make us vulnerable to drug abuse and other destructive life experiences. And it affirms that we can find healing that goes beyond stopping our use of drugs. It helps us break free from our imprisoning shame and self-doubt. It helps us claim our worth, even though we have been wronged by our past. It has enabled Derek to celebrate over 8 years of being clean and sober. I had already been introduced to the ideas in Project Justice when I saw the film Good Will Hunting, starring Matt Damon and Robin Williams. And picking up a term from Derek's Project Justice, I would say it's a film that tells the story of a young man's great escape. How many of you have seen that film, Good Will Hunting? Oh, most of you have seen it. It came out like 21 years ago, but I only saw it this last year. In this film, the young man Will, played by Matt Damon, grew up an orphan who was physically abused in his childhood. He bore the bruises and knife wound scar in his body from this abuse. Will's foster father would place a belt, a stick, and a wrench on a table and tell young Will to choose the instrument of his punishment. And then he would beat Will with that instrument. When Will's therapist said, "If I had to choose, I guess I'd pick the belt," Will said, "I would pick the wrench just to mess with him." Will's inner rage led him to pick a fight with a guy who had bullied him in kindergarten. When the police arrived and broke it up, Will hit the police officer. He was arrested and brought to trial. He was only released from jail because a math professor at MIT had seen Will's amazing abilities in math and agreed to supervise him and get him into counseling. Will was not an easy client for his therapist, Sean, played by Robin Williams. Even though Will was incredibly brilliant in math and had a photographic memory of things he'd read, he couldn't trust others. He couldn't let himself be vulnerable or engage in meaningful, intimate relationships. Even with his budding romance and growing love for Skylar, Will couldn't reveal to her the realities of his life. He feared being abandoned and hurt yet again if someone really discovered the truth. It seems that at some level, he blamed himself and couldn't get past his feelings of guilt and shame. The powerful breakthrough moment finally came after many counseling sessions through the skill and compassion of Will's therapist, Sean. Sean was looking through Will's probation file sent to him by the judge as Will arrived for this appointment.
What is that?
This is your file. To send it back to the judge for evaluation.
Oh. Hey, you're not gonna fail me, are you? What's it say?
Wanna read?
Why? Have you had any experience with that?
20 years of counseling. Yeah, I've seen some pretty awful.
I mean, have you had any experience with that?
Personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Sure ain't good.
My father was an alcoholic. Mean and drunk. He'd come home hammered, looking to wail on somebody. So I'd provoke him so he wouldn't go after my mother and little brother. Interesting nights were when he wore his rings.
Yeah, he used to just put a wrench, a stick, and a belt on the table and just say, choose.
Well, I gotta go with the belt there, Vanna.
I used to go with the wrench.
Why the wrench?
Because f*** him, that's why.
Your foster father?
Yeah. So, you know, what is it, like, Will has an attachment disorder? Is it all that stuff? Fear of abandonment. Is that why? Is that why I broke up with Skylar?
I didn't know you had.
I did.
You want to talk about it?
No.
Hey, Will. I don't know a lot. You see this? All this.
It's not your fault. I I know.
No, no, you don't. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
All right.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Don't f*** with me. It's not your fault.
Don't f*** with me, all right? Don't f*** with me, Sean. Not you.
It's not your fault.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
It's not your fault. Friends, the deep wounds of our past may continue to imprison us, but our journey to freedom begins when we deeply feel the love that embraces and claims us. It is so important that we know that we are not mistakes. We are wonderful, living expressions of a God who is more and beyond anything we can imagine. The words of the poet say it well. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. That message is at the heart of our faith. And Jesus lived, taught, and gave his life that we might truly know and claim this truth. Today in Holy Communion, we remember and celebrate this gift of love. Amen.